receivers flank out to the left, including Shinbine, who's been quiet today. He'll motion in and a wing to the left. Here's Donnelly catching it with two hands out of the shotgun. Throws quickly to Stusik. Makes the catch. Little shimmy and shake. Don't have time for that, Bennett. He gets a first down inside the 25 to the 24. His first catch of the evening, and it's another Ram first down.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his great work at markgreshner.com. By Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, getting the real estate game with a three-time Grey Cup champ. It's Paul Waldo at 306-502-5355 over there at Royal LePage. Man, they're busy right now, but to get in, and he'll help you get into the house that you need or sell the house that you want to get out of. Also, Doubles at Ag Sales over there in Weyburn with Corey Zadorozniak for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Give Doubles at Ag Sales a call out there in Weyburn. Thanks to Corey for his support of football in Saskatchewan, both at the amateur and pro level. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning with Nathan and Landon. They've got window cleaning. They've got gutter cleaning this time of year. And of course, they've got pressure washing, getting you ready for winter once again. It is Boys Next, theboysnextdoor.ca, their website. Check out their great work. SAS Selects Football with Zelko Stefanovic and his wife Deb, and they're running their 7-on-7 league right now, junior varsity and varsity. Really love what Deb and Zelko are doing for the Stars of Tomorrow today with the SAS Selects Football program. Paul Riviere and his great family, Riviere Ag Seeds, out there in the Radville area. Riviere Ag Seeds is Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. Like to thank these great sponsors for getting on board and for Pizza Hut getting on board, as Pizza Hut is sponsoring our Coach of the Week. And our Coach of the Week is Campbell Antonini, who has now recently taken over as the offensive coordinator up there on Rochdale of the Winston Knoll Wolverines. How long have you been away from coaching football, my friend?
Well, my last year would have been in 2018 with the Rams. And then this year I'm coaching Pee Wee again. So I've been away for one full season I took away from football.
Yeah. So what brought you back to coaching high school here with the Wolverines?
You know, Andrew Turbuck, their head coach, reached out and asked me if I wanted to come and be the OC there. So I kind of said yes. I've been training a lot of their kids in the gym at Winston Knoll and everything like that. So really wanted to get over there and coach those kids in, specifically.
Yeah, so you did coach with the Rams. What do you like about coaching, athletes today? And how has that changed over the years?
The athletes today, you know, a lot of them are laser focused and kind of have an idea of what they want to do in football, you know, down the road. So a lot of these kids in grade 9, 10, and 11 kind of are looking to play at the next level and need some skills and development, you know, to get there. And I think with all my experience and coaching at different levels, you know, I can help these high school kids get to where they kind of want to go in their football careers. So that's why I like coaching.
Did you say you were coaching Pee Wee too, or you're just coaching? You meant you were coaching high school.
No, I'm coaching Pee Wee this year.
Okay, how's that been going?
That's good. We just played our first game on the weekend. It was 9-on-9, which I've never coached before, so that was kind of a learning experience.
Yeah. So what was the difference?
The difference on offense, you know, you still have five eligible receivers and that stuff. So on offense, it doesn't change quite a bit. On defense, I think they got to play a little more man to man on defense with the receivers, so it might be a little more tougher for them, but you know, the schemes and the blocking and the protections, you know, compared to the 12-man for us on offense were pretty similar and everything. So it was interesting. Definitely had to tweak a couple of our plays and systems, but we'll see how it goes this weekend coming up, see if we can improve on it.
What's your team name?
The Bulldogs.
And who'd you guys play?
We played the Razorbacks from up in the north, and they kind of beat up on us this weekend.
Well, that's good. Kids got to learn how to lose, too. They got to learn through adversity.
Yep.
Really good, though, by the RMF. I know your dad, Len's heavily involved, Kelly Hamilton, Jeff Stusik, those guys. Really good by the RMF to try to figure things out in a COVID world, allowing us to still play some form of football.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, looking at it, a lot of sports aren't going, or it didn't look like we were going to get any football. And for them to be able to bring us to Lyle Field and allow these kids to play, you know, something that looks like a football game, or basically is a football game, you know, it's pretty good on those guys for getting it done.
Were you always destined to be a football coach or involved in football, because your dad was heavily involved right through all the years?
Yeah, no, I definitely think I was. It was, you know, a place I tell kids and other coaches I coach with, you know, it's a place that I feel, you know, good every time I go there, and I'm happy to be on a football field or coaching kids or playing. So it was, from an early age, I knew that was something I wanted to do every year going on. So I've made sure that I've continued to do that.
Do you think something like this, looking at the silver lining, will be good for the game of football? Like, it'll make us appreciate. I know for a spell there, people were worried about playing football, concussions and injuries and all that type of stuff. But when something's taken away from you, or you can't have it like you used to have, and that might not just be for football, hockey, baseball, whatever, you know, but speaking about football specifically, do you think like a pandemic like this can make us appreciate a sport like this? And we might see a rebirth of this sport.
Yeah, no, definitely something like this, I think, can help. You know, if you take it away from people and they look back and see what's important, you know, maybe we just get back to, you know, teaching certain skills and, you know, playing games and practicing, and people enjoy that. And there's, you know, a rebirth of that kind of fire to get going and practice and all that and learning more, because it got taken away from some of these guys. So hopefully there's a good outcome from this.
You have a young child now, I think, I hear in the background, right?
Yeah, Lenny's just over 1 year old, and she's been hanging out at the football field and everything already, so she's seems to be destined for the same kind of outcome, maybe.
Hey, so this is where I'm going with this question. Campbell Antonini now is different than maybe Campbell Antonini coaching in 2018 or even 5 years ago. Do you have to be better with your time management in just life in general? Because not only are you a dad, you have a business too. Tell us about that, because you're juggling a few balls in the air here.
Yeah, me and my wife own a coffee shop, R Spot Coffee Shop. It's located on 1433 Hamilton Street. And yeah, definitely me now compared to 2018, you know, I got a lot more going on with the coffee shop and the baby. And so you got to kind of make sure when you sit down and look at your football or your coaching, you got to make sure you're being efficient and, you know, doing the things that are important, right, when you have that time. So when you can, you know, go and practice and everything, you're doing the right thing so you can be successful on the field. So it's definitely a different coach now with these different responsibilities than I was probably back when I was coaching with the Rams and everything like that. So it's been good.
We talk about football being more than just first and 10 or a fumble or an interception or the scoreboard. It's about building good men. Has being a football coach in some ways prepared you for fatherhood?
Oh yeah. No, like ever since I started coaching back in, I think it was 2010 in the RMF, you know, I've coached at least two or three teams every year, right, with 40 kids. So, you know, looking back, I usually remember most of those kids, and, you know, you're looking after them, and they have different problems other than just on the football field and everything like that. So I've helped kids, you know, through high school since they've been 11 years old to, you know, 22 now. Guys are playing junior and asking me for references as jobs and, yeah, and, you know, asking me where potentially they should go for university. So it's definitely been a, you know, a learning experience, and helped me for fatherhood as well, because it's, you know, I get 40 kids to look after every fall or something like that.
I've never figured out why the Winston-O Wolverines can't be more competitive. Like, I coached up there in the Northwest with my son, so I coached a lot of kids that went to, you know, they kind of broke off after, some go to Riffle where my kid went, some went to Winston-O. I've never figured out, like, Riffle's been dominating Winston-O in the Battle of the Rochdale Bowl. Winston-O just can't seem to get it going together. What do you see from this football team if we get on the field this year?
There's you know, a lot of young talent. Our U16 team back in 2019 that won gold. You know, we had three or four Winston-O Wolverines on that team. So there's a couple young kids coming through that have picked football as their sport and have been doing, you know, those extra things to get better. So I think, you know, you have those kids coming through the program that might make it a little more competitive and everything like that. Yeah, and so it's hopefully those things can get going. And the new coaching staff, the head coach there has made a couple changes on the offensive side and the defensive side with the coordinators. You know, got a young guy by the name of Tristan Karankowicz, who played up at U of S now, so he's taken over the defense there. So getting a couple younger new faces into that organization, potentially, hopefully we'll inject it with some energy and some stuff that it needs to be successful down the road.
Yeah, Tristan's a guy that was a standout with the U of S Huskies, and of course his wife just came through a health scare there and apparently got through on the other side. So that's great news there in the Winston Knoll family. Lastly, Campbell Antonini, do you think we'll have a season in the fall, or do you think we might see it pushed back to the spring? Is that kind of, you kind of right now just trying to figure things out?
Right now, just kind of figuring things out, I think. I don't know if there's going to be a fall season in the high school. A lot of people are talking about the spring and playing, but it's tough to think about playing football in the spring with, you know, the grass fields. I don't know if we have enough turf to play in the spring. Hopefully we can get it done and get a season for the grade 12.
Yeah.
Grade 12 athletes. You know, our quarterback at Winston Knoll, Ethan Hogg, he's been a guy that's been a starter since grade 10, right? And he's looking to kind of get in front of the Thunder coaches and the Ram coaches and get some film out there for them. So, you know, hopefully we can get something done for those grade 12 so that they can, you know, still have those opportunities next year and all that kind of stuff.
All right, Campbell, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your time. Once again, give your business a plug. Where's that coffee shop?
Our spot coffee shop. It's located in the Warehouse District, 1433 Hamilton Street.
Good to have you back on the football field, my friend. Good luck with the Pee Wee Bulldogs and the Winston Knoll Wolverines, should we see it in the fall here.
Thank you.
Stuck in your traffic light.
Do you like moving at 2 miles an hour all day long?
Traffic light. Talking about the traffic light.
Don't like being stuck in traffic.
A red light means stop. Yellow is caution, and green means go.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know.
I like traffic lights, but only when they're green.
Are you in the market for buying a new vehicle? I just bought one, so I've compiled a bunch of tips for you if you're looking for a new vehicle. These are Ballsy's top tips for buying vehicles. If the tires are balder than the salesman, walk away. To get some extra value out of the deal, go to the free coffee dispenser and slip as many creams and sugars into your pocket as you can. Do not engage in sexual relations with the dealer's giant inflatable balloon man flailing around in the wind. Never helps you out in the deal. Make sure it has enough space on the bumper for your I Love Trudeau bumper sticker. You need to put one of those on as you drive around anywhere in Western Canada, right? Another top car buying tip from yours truly, Ballsy. Always treat your salesman with respect because, hey, that's Daniel LaRusso from The Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. Find a vehicle that you can sleep in comfortably after your Trudeau bucks run out. And the top tip, according to me, for buying a vehicle, factor in your penis size. For instance, if you can't find it at all, you start shopping at the Porsche dealership. And my guest here on Growing the Game with Ballsy is the president of the Regina Thunder football team. You know him from AGT Foods fame. That would be Murat El-Khatib. Actually, they might know you now from the Garage Band fame.
Yeah, you know, it's been a lot of fun, Michael, playing some music and raising money for some local charities. That's something we've been doing on the side.
Yeah, and you just did recently raise money for mental health, which is obviously huge right now.
Yeah, so for addictions and mental health at the Caring Place, last night we raised $138,000. It was a great event, great programs, you know, in the community here. And, you know, very, very timely with COVID and everything. You know, their service demand is just exploding.
Hey, buddy, you're a pretty good singer.
Thanks. You know, I try.
Is that, like, growing up as a teenager, singing in your bedroom, like, what got you into the musical side of things?
You know what? I've always loved music, and you know, high school I used to play in a band, but I haven't done it since my, you know, maybe 16 or 17 years old. So, you know, in my 40s, I guess part of the midlife crisis. Football and a band—that's what helps me to get through everything.
And you don't even need to pick up chicks anymore because you got a wife. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Michelle wouldn't like that.
You know what I mean? Hey, what's your go-to song when you're trying to get Michelle in the mood romantically? What song would you sing if you had to? What would it be?
Well, I'll tell you the one that doesn't get her in the mood is Brown Eyed Girl, because she's a Blue Eyed Girl. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. So Murad, no football this year for the CJFL and the PFC. We were talking last time we talked, we didn't know, but now we do know. Just your thoughts on that.
Well, you know what? We really did, hold on to the very end in terms of taking a look at what we could do. And, you know, the interprovincial travel restrictions are just, what killed us, Michael, at the end of the day. So, from the Regina Thunder perspective, though, we are, we started practices. So we have organized into cohorts. We're able to adhere to all the guidelines. We've been able to set up our clubhouse for film and to observe all those guidelines of public health. So we're going to do about a 5-week, kind of a training camp, practice session, with the boys and ensure that, we're still able to raise their football IQ and, continue the development. Yeah. And so, that's been exciting. And, I'm still holding out some hope that if things continue stable, that, we're going to be looking at the possibility of trying to do something on an exhibition side here yet. Before the end of November. We'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah, it'd be nice because you'd love to keep these kids engaged. You like to practice and hone your skills, but my gosh, they'd like to play some football. And we just started this interview talking about mental health. I think we forget about that, especially with our youth, the mental health side. You and I, we've never had to go through this as a kid. It's bad enough as adults, but as kids, your brains aren't fully developed yet. You don't know what the hell's going on in a normal teenage life or a young person's life. So we got to keep that in mind too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, football is such a mentally, challenging sport, and, the kids, heads are in the game, and yet we can't give them the opportunity to actually show, the type of passion that they have for the game. And so that's been tough. So keeping, the players and coaches engaged, and then keeping the health of the franchise for, our financial side. I mean, we need to be preparing for 2021, mm-hmm. where we hope that we're going to have a season. We're not going to, likely be able to rely on the support that we've had from the Rough Riders on the 50-50. Because again, they didn't have games this year. So, our NFL pool has went well. We're going to sell that baby out. And, from a financial standpoint, the Regina Thunder is going to be, the healthiest or among the healthiest franchises in the whole country.
Can they still buy those pool tickets? I got myself a couple,
but
people can't.
Regina Thunder, NFLLottery.com. Tickets are still there, but I'll tell you, we're getting close to a sellout. So, they better grab them. Within the next week or two, we're going to be all done.
And that's a pretty good...
It'll be the first sellout in our history, Michael.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good deal because you guys, it was a blow for you not to have that dinner this year.
Well, yeah, listen, the Dinner of Champions, with 500 corporate guests, and, it's a major fundraiser. So, what we had to do was make sure we sold out the NFL pool. We didn't sell it out last year, so we had to make up the revenue. And, we're quite happy with that. And, team engagement has been good. The announcement of the extension of eligibility for...
Yeah.
Our kids that are fourth and fifth year, was something we decided to do that was a little bit beyond what others were considering in terms of just a fifth year extension. Our view was is that, the fifth years were ready to be fifth years this year, and they didn't get that opportunity from COVID. We also didn't want to take away the opportunity from those fourth years who next year were going to have their fifth year. So we decided that it was a really strong opportunity to have leadership and continuity in the league, and decided to ensure we extended both the fourth years and the fifth year. So if you were on an active CJFL roster last year, or you had signed and committed to a CJFL team by June the 1st, mm-hmm. you're going to have an extra year of eligibility, I think is a positive decision.
Mira, does that bring any financial challenges or strains to you guys? Because it might mean a bigger roster, or does it mean like you're just going to have to make tougher decisions on who makes your roster?
Yeah, I think, Michael, we did not expand the roster size. So one of the proposals at the board levels were to accommodate a bigger roster, but we didn't do that. What it's going to mean is there's going to be a lot more competition on the entering classes. Mm-hmm. So the recruitment classes are going to get a bit smaller. We did see a year though where most of the teams, let's say the Hilltops would be, kind of the team in our league that would have the most fifth years usually. This year they had a much smaller crop of fifth years. So, it's not like we were talking about you know, 15 or 20 players a team that are being extended. You're usually talking about 5 to 7 fifth-year players.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think where we're going to see that ripple effect is the second and third years, there's going to be a lot of competition in that middle. So, if you're not good enough to really show that you're going to be a strong fourth and fifth-year player, you know, we're going to want to take in the first-year players. We've got our fourth and fifth-year players. So the players in the middle are going to have to really compete really tough and hard to make sure they keep their roster spots.
Now, I don't know if it was General Patton or a U.S. president said never waste a good crisis. So do you see the CJFL, the PFC coming back stronger? Can you tweak some things at a league level to make your franchises stronger so that we will? Because there'll be an appetite for live football in this country when we get on the other side of this thing.
Well, you know, we've actually, continued with our, affiliation, of course, assuming that we're going to have a CFL,
mm-hmm.
The affiliation with the CFL and our ability of our players to go, you know, directly onto a CFL roster without the draft with the territorial is a big part. So we followed the CFL in terms of passing some international guidelines. So we actually now have, you know, 4 roster spots that can be reserved for international players, 2 U.S. Players and 2 non-U.S.
Right.
And, in addition to the extension of our fourth and fifth years, I think the product on our field is going to get a lot better. And, you know, franchises like ours that are able to offer scholarships,
right?
You know, it's making our league a very viable place to play. And, you know, we're seeing a tremendous amount of interest from across the country. New franchises are being talked about in some locations out west here, you know, that might, pop up. We'll see how those go.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very optimistic, that the, especially the PFC. And, we've seen some good progress in Ontario too, Michael, where some of the franchises are dropping off, but we've got some strong franchises either emerging or continuing there.
Awesome. Lastly, Murad, you mentioned CFL football. You're a big-time sponsor of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I don't see this league folding. We've got too many new buildings, like the one we have in our own backyard here on Elphinstone Street, but it definitely needs some tweaks. They need to come back with a different business model. You being a businessman would know that.
Well, I think that, we've got, a number of strong community-owned franchises that are very successful. And I think, we are going to benefit, even if there's grumblings of yes or no. We will benefit as a nation by having MLSE as an owner in the league today. I mean, these guys know sports. They know, the long-term view and building, viewership, building revenues. I think that the CFL will benefit from that partnership long-term. So, again, I think that culturally, football is part of our Canadian culture. This is not, optional for us. And
yeah.
So in some form, the league will go. But, Michael, focusing a bit more on some Canadian content, I don't believe that with the strength of our minor football and our junior football and our CIS, that we can't have a very good product with even more Canadian content that we have today.
Oh, man,
and
brother.
I think that's going to be one of the ways that we recreate this league.
Well, and I agree with you, because it would expand the dream for Canadian kids to play for the Thunder, the Hilltops, or the Rams, or the Huskies. Like right now, I've said this many times, you look at them, they look at a roster, and they pigeonhole Canadians where they can play them and don't even consider them, say, at a cornerback or a slot back or something like that. Like, we need to move to that point where we can increase the roster with Canadians, not decrease it. And I'm talking starters, not take away from the starters.
No, absolutely. I think the talent is there. And I think that, there's a desire of Canadians to watch a good product. But there's also, we're not talking about, a strong, dilutive, thing to have more Canadians playing. So, I'm a strong advocate of that. I'm a strong advocate of all levels of football, as you know. And I've expressed that pretty clearly to the commissioner in my interactions, and we're hopeful that the CFL is going to do just fine.
But, okay, so I'm glad I talked to him, but I only get him for 5, 6, 7 minutes when I'm interviewing him. And no disrespect to Randy, I like some of the things he's done, but I get the political speak. When you're behind the scenes talking to him, and he knows you're a major sponsor, he knows who you are, what are his thoughts? Because a lot of people who I talk to say, looks like he's kind of turning his back on Canadians. He's looking to go global, and he's looking to do this, and he's not really, like, the guy's a Canadian. He played in the Canadian Football League. He probably isn't the commissioner of the Canadian Football League if he didn't have a birth certificate that enabled him to play in the Canadian Football League. I mean, you look at it. Look at Brett Jones. Brett Jones, who's on a roster. Tavon Campbell, who's on a roster. Akeem Hicks, who's on a roster. Well, Akeem might be a different story, but look at Tavon and you look at Brett Jones from the Rams. If CFL teams weren't forced to look at Canadian players, i.e. the ratio, those guys wouldn't even get a chance. They wouldn't even get a sniff.
Listen, I will tell you that, you know, in my interactions, you know, Randy is a strong, strong supporter of amateur football, you know, junior football, and, you know, the development of Canadian talent. And, you know, again, that's the balance of that versus, you know, the business decisions he's trying to make to improve the product. And, you know, I think, you know, ultimately, you know, I have optimism that, you know, that Canadian content will be strengthened. And, you know, I didn't get any indications from Randy that there's anything different than wanting to ensure that there's great opportunities for our kids to play in the league.
I appreciate your time, Murat, and everything you do in the football community. And obviously, we started this interview talking about the community at large. So thanks for your work. I appreciate it.
No problem, Michael. Take care.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.